I'm so glad that you all made it. Welcome this afternoon. Hopefully, our goal is to kind of make you laugh, enjoy the afternoon, and hopefully just enjoy the evening, whatever you've got planned, date night out to dinner or whatever you want to do. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this time together. Lord, I pray that you will just help us to fully embrace and experience the joy that you have for our marriages. We just give all this to you. We trust you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we get started, y'all probably don't know this, but Angie and I are part of a small elite group here at Calvary. It's called the Native Knoxvillians.
And because of this, Gary would like to welcome you with a down-home East Tennessee welcome, and I will translate.
Howdy, y'all. We are so tickled pink that you're here. Howdy, y'all. Come on and set a spell. We are so excited. We're tickled pink that you're here and happier than a pig in fresh slop that you're here.
We rehearse. We're going to start over. Start over. We're going to get it.
Okay. Howdy, y'all. Come on and set a spell. We are so happy that you're here. We are tickled pink that you're here and happier than a pig in fresh slop. So we hope you're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed after all them good fixings for lunch. So now if the good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, we're going to have a mess of fun this weekend. All right, so, got it.
What he said was, hello, sit down. We're glad you're here. Have fun. And I forgot something to do. Stay awake. Yeah, you have to stay awake.
So I'm Gary. This is my wife, Angie. I'm sorry. We'll get it. So really, I know a lot of y'all from out of town. I know we've done this before, raising your hand if you're from California or Oregon or all the states other than Tennessee. So no matter where you've come from or how you really got here, Angie and I just want to say,
bless your heart. And for some of you, and you know who you are, bless your heart.
So again, I'm Gary. This is my wife, Angie.
I'm the fun one.
Well, you're fun, but at least I think I'm the king of the dad jokes.
You are funny, but you're no Ron Linkus.
Well, you do have a point there. You do have a point. So, you know, we're wanting to talk about fun stuff. We want to talk about joy in marriage. So what are some things that we can kind of toss out just for fun?
Well, for starters, we've been married for 31 fun years. And and we have 9 amazing kids.
Wow.
And 1 son-in-law.
I know what you're thinking. You're looking at the kids there. You're thinking they got all their looks from me. I know. I know that because she still has all her looks.
Thank you very much. let's tell them about the time that we went skydiving and we soared thousands of feet in the air and looked at all the beautiful countryside.
No. We never did that. You're probably thinking of that time we ran down to Pigeon Forge and did the little 70-foot bungee jump.
It was only 70 feet?
Yeah. But there was that time that I got all my scuba gear on and went scuba diving and found all those treasures down in the water.
The only time you put any gear on is when you put the kids' flippers and floaties and mask and snorkel and jumped in the baby pool.
I forgot.
I wish I had pictures.
No.
Okay, what about the time I scored the winning point for our team, and everyone was amazed at how athletic I am?
No, that's not accurate. That was when the kids were little, and we were playing kickball in the backyard. You tripped over the ball, did a flip, and landed on your back.
That is true.
That's about it.
Well, we may not be remembering all the details exactly the same, but we have done some amazing and fun things in our 31 years of marriage. We have been to other countries. We've traveled to the beach and had fun vacations, mountain trips, and some of my favorite memories are staycations when we slept in a tent in the backyard.
And we do have a creative God, and he wants us to experience the joy and the fun and the just excitement of being married, of marriage in general. And that's kind of what Angie and I want to talk with you about, is just what God wants us to experience in our marriage. We want to talk about how good God made marriage to be. And also really talk about and acknowledge some of the sorrows and the difficulties that we go through in the midst of the ups and downs. And then talk about the importance of laughter and how beneficial that is to our marriage. First, let's look back at the first marriage. We all know the passage in Genesis chapter 2. But God created Adam and Eve. He brought them together in the first marriage. In Genesis chapter 2, God said, "It is not good that man should be alone," which would imply bringing man and woman together would be good. If it's not good for him to be alone, it's good for them to be together. In fact, in Proverbs 18, which I think Will mentioned earlier, it says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." And also Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 says, "Let marriage be held in honor by all." And I read one of Matthew Henry's commentaries about that verse, just to kind of get a little bit more perspective. And what he says is, here you have a recommendation of God's ordinance of marriage that is honorable to all and ought to be so esteemed by all and not denied to those to whom God has not denied it. It is honorable, for God instituted it for man in paradise, knowing it was not good for him to be alone. He married and blessed the first couple, the first parents of mankind, to direct all to look unto God in that great concern, and to marry in the Lord. And even Christ honored marriage in it with his presence and first miracle. So marriage is something to honor and to cherish and to enjoy. That's the value that God puts on marriage. But joy doesn't come easy. It doesn't come naturally, I think, in our marriages. Joy has to be cultivated. It's like if we plant a garden, you don't just throw out some seeds, walk away, and then assume you're going to get the harvest that you want when it's time. You have to cultivate it. You have to spend time in the garden, intentional time, to reap the rewards. I heard a pastor, his name's Chris Corsi. He wrote a book called The Four Habits of Joy-Filled Marriages. And he talks about marriages this way. He describes what he called a joy gap, which is really the time between times of shared joy. So if your time between those times of shared joy is short, then your marriage is probably good in that area. But if you're going months and months between times of shared joy, then you probably need to work on some things. You probably need to, what he says, infuse relational joy to shorten that gap. And if you're taking notes, which I really appreciate the notebooks, by the way, I like to write down some things. Here's one thing that he said. It's an acronym, some practical things we can do to shorten that joy gap, so to speak. It's plan, P-L-A-N. The first, and I'll go through each one of them, play together, listen for emotion first, appreciate daily, and then nurture rhythm. So, and I looked at each one and tried to explain it in a way that I can understand, a way that kind of relates to us. The play together is simple. Good friends always find time to do something together. You know, guys will get out and do something outside. Ladies will get out and do something, shopping or whatever. If you're good friends, you're going to make time to just play together and just kind of have fun. For example, Angie and I enjoy playing cards together. And I hesitate saying this, but also Hallmark Mysteries. So I know. That's just for us in here. That don't need to go anywhere else. And then the second thing is listen to emotion first. And this is something that I've really had to, I guess, learn over the years and still learning. If one of you wants to get out and go do something fun, and the other person just really don't want to do anything, just not in the mood to get out and go do anything, or just is in one of those moods, then pay attention to those emotions and ask them, what do you need in this moment? I may want to go out and do whatever that's fun, But if you just want to sit here and watch a Hallmark mystery, I don't know, listen to that emotion first and be sensitive to each other's needs. And sometimes it takes some humility to put others first and to kind of put our needs second. Then the third thing was appreciate daily. Again, it's a simple thing. Just tell your spouse that you appreciate them. And the key is with specific examples. It's one thing to say, I really appreciate you. And that's nice, but it's even better, even deeper if you tell them exactly how you appreciate them. One thing I appreciate about Angie is how she can stretch a dollar. I mean, you saw all those mouths we had to feed over the years. She could take on one income and one small food budget each month, she could feed an army. So that I really have appreciated that about her over the years. So just remind your spouse often. That's another key, ways you appreciate them. And then the last part was nurture rhythm, which when I was thinking about this, it's really why I see it is set, be consistent and set boundaries. One example of a boundary that I read was keep the bedroom a problem-free zone. So if you got issues in the family or issues between you and you got to talk things out, do that in the living room, the kitchen table. Deal with it how you need to deal with it. But leave the bedroom as just a place to relax and no stress so that everybody knows that, okay, we're not going to argue. We're not going to fuss. We're going to do that constructively elsewhere. This is our time to just relax. And so we know that that's a sort of a safe place to go. One other thing that Angie and I try to do, been trying to do this more and more, is really just discuss our schedules and try to deliberately make time for each other. So when she's got a lot of things going on with the kids, I've got work and other meetings, other things going on, we try to sit down and go, okay, what night this week is best for us to just sit at home or go out to eat or even just have some friends over? Just anything that we're setting time aside that we can be together, even if it's with others, but we can be together and nurture our relationship and not get so busy, because busyness will take over if we're not deliberate about it. Things will just happen, and next thing you know, 6 months later, and you've not done anything because work is busy, your life is busy. So just make time to really, truly, and purposely enjoy each other. And these are just a few simple things that we can do to shorten that marriage or that joy gap in our marriage. And recently, we've been reminded in Mark's teachings in Ephesians that marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. Will mentioned that earlier as well. We're reminded that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her, for example. That level of love he has for us, his bride, is what he's picturing in our marriages. That's something to celebrate, to rejoice in, to be thankful for. So even though we live in a fallen world, suffer trials in our marriage, God's design is for our good and displays his goodness.
We do realize that some of you are here today and you may be in the hardest storm you've ever had to go through or just walking through a trial. Maybe you're the primary caretaker of aging parents. Maybe you are desperately praying for a wayward child to come home. Maybe you have health issues and you don't have answers for you or your spouse or your child, and it is just so heavy. Financial pressures that seem overwhelming. Or maybe you're here and your marriage is hanging on by a thread. So before we go any further, we do want to say, don't leave here without talking to someone. We are the body of Christ, and we're called to bear each other's burdens. And even the people you're sitting at the table with, you know, you'll pray together. But even at Calvary, we do have counselors. And at some point this weekend, we're going to have the pastors and the elders here to pray. So we want you to know, we want to walk alongside you. And I'm sure there'll be days where you're walking alongside of us, and that's already happened here. But we also want to encourage you and just say, you will get through this. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, "Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning." John 16, 33, Jesus tells us, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Your trial right now may seem so heavy. It may seem like such a burden that you are carrying. But remember, Jesus also said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He also, in Psalms it says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Jesus wants to carry our burdens and give us rest if we only let him. So, how can we laugh and have fun during our trials? Laughter will not magically cause our trials to disappear. But I see laughter, fun, and a cheerful heart as God's Tylenol for our trials. You know, most of the time when you take a pain reliever, it is just to make life a little more bearable as you heal. And I see God's gift of laughter the same way. The Bible says that a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. A few years ago, I went through the hardest thing that I've had to face yet in my life, and it was so heavy, and I did not feel like laughing or having fun. I remember one night, just wanting to be alone, being my self-pity, honestly, exactly where the enemy wants us. And Gary and the kids had gone downstairs, and they were watching a Christian comedian. And I just thought to myself, I don't want to go down there. I don't want to laugh. I'm too sad. But I went anyway, and in a few minutes, I was laughing my head off. And I had kids sitting on my lap. I was sitting next to Gary. And as a family, we were having a blast. And it was just a sweet evening of relief. The laughter was like medicine to my soul. So I encourage you, if all you have the energy to do is watch a Christian comedian or play games as a family, do it. Laugh together. Laugh often. It is a gift in the middle of our trials.
And we're talking about habits of healthy marriages. And I think laughter is one factor that is a very healthy thing in our marriage. Like she said in Proverbs 17, it says, "A merry heart does good like medicine." There's so many benefits to laughing. Physical benefits, physiological or relational benefits, but also Scripture talks a lot about it. In Proverbs 15, it says, "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance." Also in that chapter, just two verses later, it says, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast." And the word merry in those verses really talk about being glad, joyful, cheerful, at ease, and good. The word medicine back in chapter 17 is really talking about a cure, or what I like, the definition I like, was removing a bandage from a wound. Having a merry heart really helps heal our wounds. It's to our benefit to have a merry heart. And like I said, there's a lot of physical benefits as well. I read an article out of the Mayo Clinic, and it talked about laughter. It said it increases our oxygen level, stimulates our heart, our lungs, our muscles, gives us a relaxed feeling, stimulates circulation, which helps with stress. And you know those times that you just laugh so hard. It's like you've been working out. You know, you're tired. You feel good, but it's like a draining, but it's a good laugh. You just feel better. You're in a better mood. But also, it boosts your immune system, relieves pain, like she was talking about, increases personal satisfaction, and believe it or not, it burns calories. So, the gym or laugh, whatever you want to do. And also an article out of UCLA talks about more of the relational benefits of laughter. It said it enhances teamwork. It helps diffuse conflict, which we just were talking about. Promotes bonding. It even says that laughter strengthens relationships and attracts our spouse to us. And our relationship is proof of that because she takes one look at me and just starts laughing.
But sometimes it's definitely not easy to keep the best attitude while trying to have fun. I heard someone say fun is a choice, not an outcome. And I immediately thought of a story that I've told over and over down through the years. A time when what started out as a fun and spontaneous trip to the mountains became something a little less than fun.
So we kind of thought about, rather than just telling the story to you, we want to take you along with us and experience the story.
I want to go on record as saying he thought that would be a great idea.
All right, kids, let's get in the van.
Line up.
We are headed to the mountains. It's a beautiful winter day. It's cold, but let's line up. Come on, let's go. One, two. What's up with the hair?
It's a maze. It's fine. Let's just.
She really wear it that way?
Yeah, let's.
All right, buckle up. Let's go. Oh, my goodness, the outfit. It's cold. She's going to freeze.
Honey, she's decent. It matches.
All right.
It's, let's Whatever. Go with it.
It's almost time. All right. Son, you got 2 feet and one shoe. What is going on?
Let's go. We can just carry him. He's on the
belt. All right, buckle up. All right. We're going to get out of the driveway.
All right. Okay, guys, are you back? Okay, can you help buckle her up? No, no, you do not get to sit next to the window. You lost that privilege. No. Okay, so you decided today's a good day to bring 10 stuffed animals. Okay, well, you have to keep them on your side of the seat or you know your sister's going to have a fit. You forgot what?
Oh.
Okay, hurry, go get it.
What's she going to get?
She forgot her book.
We're going to the mountains. You're supposed to look out the window at God's creation.
She loves to read, and you know we need to encourage that.
Okay. Well, where's she going?
She probably found something.
They're all going back in?
That's what we do.
Get what you need. Go to the bathroom. Let's go. Buckle up. All right.
All right. Roll call. Ashlyn, Amber, Lauren, Kinsey, Garrison, Anna Kate, Ryan, Bethany. Please tell me the baby is in the carrier.
All right, we're good. All right, we're getting out of the driveway.
I better go to the bathroom.
Oh, no, we're heading on. We're going. Oh, man, this is a beautiful winter day.
This was a great idea.
Man, this is beautiful. Nice. Kids are having fun. Look at the view of the mountains over there. Look, what's pretty. Man, look, kids, there's deer across the road over there.
Look, you cannot see anything with your shirt pulled over your eyes. Leave her alone. Stop hitting your sister. Oh, no, you're not going to be able to do that. Get your stuffed animals on the other side. You need to go to the bathroom. She's going to go to the bathroom again.
No. No, Evelyn, we'll find a stop somewhere. Okay. No. All right.
Gary, I have a great idea.
Okay.
Okay, I've been wanting to do this for a long time. Mm-hmm. Can we surprise the kids and stay in a hotel?
Tonight?
Yeah.
We are not prepared. We don't have any, we don't have clothes, toothbrush, food. We don't have anything.
It's okay. Listen, my mom and dad did this for me and my brother when we were little, and I still have great memories.
You and your brother. Have you looked back there? We got a whole boatload of kids.
It's our family. I mean, you know, what could go wrong? I think we'll be talking about this for years.
I'm sure we will. Yeah. Well,
right. Is there
we can find
around?
A place. I don't know if we can find a place out here or not. There's a kind of a dump, but there's a place out there.
I don't think they have a... Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you. It has to have an indoor heated pool.
Well,
that is the key ingredient.
Wintertime.
Because it's winter and we get to swim. And
everything has to be heated.
Okay.
All right.
I don't think they would have one. Oh, wait, look. There. It says on the sign, heated indoor pool and spa. And I've heard those are great places.
Yeah, they left a light on for us, all right. Yeah.
Well, are we going to cue it?
We'll give it a shot. Might as well.
Okay.
All right. Kids, we're spending the night.
Yay!
So since we're not prepared, I'll go get some pizzas. Y'all just get settled in.
We'll check in and we'll see.
And I'll be back.
Okay. Okay. Well, it's not what I expected. It's not the Hilton, but it's okay. Those two can sleep there. Those two can be in that bed. Two kids will sleep with me and Gary. We can put some blankets here, and the other kids can sleep there. There's not a table, so I guess we'll use the coffee table.
All right, got the pizzas and the drinks. Oh, my goodness, this is a small room.
It's fine. It's fine.
11.
So much fun.
And we just got coffee table?
Coffee
table. That's what we're reading on.
All
right.
They all fit.
All right, guys. Gather around. Be careful. Don't spill anything, please. This place ain't the best, but let's take care of it.
They're not going to spill.
There's just some pizza.
Okay. Maybe one spill. It's okay. It's okay.
Towel.
All right, guys, go ahead and eat your pizza. Towel. Here's and be careful.
Another towel.
Maybe two spills.
All right.
All right, listen.
Here, I'll get this cleaned up.
Okay, listen.
Yep.
While they eat, and then you can settle in, y'all can watch a show, I'm going to run back to the house and get the clothes.
No. You just relax. I want you to enjoy this time with the kids.
I don't think this is a good idea.
I'm going to make the trek all the way back home. I'll be back sometime before morning. I'll get everything. You just relax, and I need some alone time.
Okay, call me when you get there.
I will.
Okay. All right, kids. We're going to get settled. Maybe we can find...
There is everything.
Watch... Let's see if there's a little house on the prairie marathon.
What's this?
And then in the morning, we're going to get up and go to that little restaurant, Granny's Kitchen.
Where is all the clothes? All right. I have my phone. Angie.
Hey, are you there?
I'm here. I'm finally made it
home. Are you in the girls' closet?
I'm in the closet.
Okay, so all you have to do is look straight ahead. On the top shelf, all those boxes are summer clothes. It's 2 tees, 3 tees, 4 tees, 5 tees, 6 7s.
It's all this tea stuff. All I know is sweet tea. I'm just going to grab whatever they can
find. Hey, Gary.
This is what I'm going to have to do.
Are you there? I knew this wasn't going to go well.
All right. Anders, party of 11. All right. We made it to the restaurant.
Are y'all hungry? I know this is good. All right. Delicious.
I hope y'all slept good because I did not.
Don't play with that knife.
All right. Everybody have a seat.
Put all the knives down.
Pancakes. Right. You seen the price of these pancakes?
Gary, it's a fun and spontaneous.
Yeah. All right.
Please not worry about it.
You two are sharing. You two are sharing. You two are sharing.
I guess we're going to worry about
it. I'm not going to share. Water for everybody.
All right. Okay. Guys, you know how he gets. It's fine.
Pancakes and all the fixings and water for everybody. All right. Let's cut your pancakes up.
So, why is everybody staring at us?
I don't know, but if they want to come over and help cut pancakes, they can come all over here. Oh.
I mean, wait, so you have a couple of extra kids. I mean, good grief.
I don't know.
Oh, ugh. Spill on aisle one.
Another spill. Can I get a mop, towel, something over here?
All right. No big deal. All right, guys. Go ahead and eat up.
Another
spill on us.
Another mop. No wonder they're staring. It's like Niagara Falls around there. There's water everywhere. Oh, man.
And I have to say, our 4-year-old can make better pancakes than Granny.
You are not kidding.
This breakfast is a disaster.
It's not the best.
Biscuits are burned. The eggs are runny. This is really pretty horrible. But
yeah.
I'm not going to be disappointed because we're going back to the heated pool and the jacuzzi. That is what I came for.
Well, I think the sooner we get out of here, the better.
Okay. Come on, let's go.
All right, kids. Get your bathing suits on. Get your towels. We're going to head down to the pool and try to have a little bit of fun this weekend.
We have a little problem.
Another problem?
Well, we have two teenagers locked in the bathroom because someone couldn't find their bathing suits.
Oh, my word. Are you serious? Shorts and t-shirt. I got them. They're decent. They'll be fine.
But they're at that age. They're embarrassed about everything.
There's nobody. Nobody comes to this place but us. There's nobody there.
Well,
we'll be okay. All right. Let's go swimming, guys. Come on.
Oh, heated.
All right.
Little jacuzzi.
Okay. You have not learned how to swim yet.
Oh,
and we don't have any floats. You stay in the
way. Wait.
Hey, don't run. No running over here.
Are you serious?
All right. I'm going to sit right here with
the
baby.
The jacuzzi is out of order. The jacuzzi is out of order.
You know.
Okay.
What else is going to happen?
Pool is heated.
All right, kids.
Last one is.
Be careful.
Let me stick my toe in. water's
Quit
freezing.
running. Don't
It's
run it over here.
freezing.
I might get hurt.
The warning said heated pool.
Oh.
Why is it not?
All right, kids.
This is so frustrating.
You got 30 minutes before frostbite sets in. So enjoy.
This was such a waste. A waste of time, a waste of money. I am so frustrated that I thought I could make this a good weekend. This is the worst day ever. So that was quite the trip. Oh, sorry. Quite the trip. That really did happen. There were a few things we embellished, but the majority, that really happened. And yes, we have talked about it for years and years, and it has brought much laughter. The old saying is true when you're going through a tough time, that one day you will look back on this and laugh. And but God also taught me a very sweet lesson that day, because the rest of the story involves my six-year-old. And so as we were changing in the bathroom after swimming in that very cold water, I looked at Kinsey, and she was shaking violently, kind of like I am right now, and her lips were completely purple. And with quivering lips, she said, "This is the best day of my life." And it crushed me. Because, see, she had seen all the good. She'd had a blast. And I had focused on all the bad. And it still makes me a little sad to think about it. Her heart was full. My heart was full, too. It was full of anger and regret and frustration and even some embarrassment that I thought that this was a good idea in the first place. And I know this is a small incident, and thankfully it didn't ruin our marriage. But the condition of the heart plays such a vital role in the health and happiness in our marriages. And I want to leave you with a familiar scripture, one that I have prayed over and over, and it is Psalm 51, a prayer of repentance. The whole passage is so good, and it washes us clean as we confess our sin to God. And I highly recommend you read the whole chapter and make it your prayer. For this afternoon, I just want to pull out a few of those verses. And it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Life is hard. Marriage can be hard. We cannot have fun all the time. That is an unrealistic expectation. But we can purpose to live a life pleasing to the Lord by lifting up our hearts to Him, confessing often, knowing that ultimately no amount of fun on this earth can compare to the joy that comes from walking with Jesus. And when we walk with Jesus together, there's nothing like it.
So tonight, spend time sharing with each other what you really enjoy about each other. Spend some time laughing together. Find your own story to talk about and remember how stressful it was in the moment, but how it's just hilarious now. Spend time telling each other the things you appreciate about each other, things you're thankful for. God created marriage, and it is good. He desires for us to enjoy each other and have healthy marriages, all to display that picture of Christ and His relationship with the church. We hope you've laughed a little with us today, and we pray that your marriages experience the joy that God intends for us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the joy that you have created. I pray that you will just constantly remind us of your goodness and your mercy and your love for us, and that we will just rest in that and enjoy the marriages that you've created in each one here. And may they all be reflective of you and your goodness to others around us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.